Welcome back to KLEM Sports. We are chatting with the former co-head coach of Hinton Blackhawk football. It's Coach Steve Dedeker, as he and Bruce Held just being named to the Iowa Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame after a long 36-year career, 205 wins, 15 playoff appearances. They were state runners-up in 2012. Coach, first of all, I guess, though, let's kind of start. Why it was Hinton the place to be? Why was Bruce the guy to work with? And why coaching football for so many years and willingly like you did for all that time?
Well, the reason I've got to Hinton, my wife is a medical technologist. And her final year of college had to be as an assistant at some hospital. He had to get selected into the program. And so I said, well, we're going to wait and see we had just gotten married. I said, we'll wait and see what city or what hospital you get selected to do your internship. And then I'll start looking for school. So she got selected to St. Luke's in Sioux City. Well, St. Luke's at that time, it's Unity Point now. And so I just sent out letters saying, hey, I've got an elementary degree with a coaching license and PE, and if you have any openings, I'd appreciate, consideration. And I got a call back from the elementary principal here at Hinton, Tom Briggs at the time, and did an interview and ended up taking a fifth grade position in junior high football and junior high track. So I started out there and then just never had any desire to go anyplace else. I think Hinton was a great community. It was very supportive people. I grew up on a small farm in Nebraska, so it's a farming community. So I kind of just fit in and just never had any desire to go anyplace else.
It's such a unique relationship that you and Bruce had for all those years. I mean, co-head coaches, not many schools do that. And then if they do it, they certainly don't do it for 36 years. Why did you and Bruce, just click so well? Why did that relationship work as long as it did?
Well, started out, Bruce actually graduated from Hinton the year before I came. He graduated in the spring of 75 and went to Northwestern to play football. I showed up in the fall of 75, His mother was the school nurse here, and I got along with her great, but I really didn't meet Bruce until he had graduated, came back to take over the family farm, and he ended up being an assistant high school coach, and me as the junior high coach yet at that time also helped out with the high school. So we worked together in that sense for a few years, so we knew each other. We both had family members about the same age, so our kids, were going to school, and as they started to school, they, started running around together. And then when the head job came open, each one of us encouraged the other guy to take it, and neither one of us really wanted it, So finally the principal said, how about if you do it together? And He played in college on the offensive side of the ball. I always liked the defensive side of the ball best, so we just decided to split the duties up, offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. And then the other guy was each other's assistant. So I think both of us, Bruce grew up on a small farm here in Hinton too, so I think, as part of being a small farm kid, where, we had a John Deere, two bottom plows, and he was using a farm ball, if you didn't do the job, it didn't get done on a small farm. There's a lot less automation than what we have today. We actually, when I was going on a farm, we actually milked cows by hand yet. So, both of us were used to putting in an honest day's work, and I don't think either one of us ever felt like the other guy was doing less. We when it came down to time to hand out equipment or put equipment away or run the weight room, we were both always here, and that's just, we just expected that out of each other to do our share. And like I say, our families grew up, we started going on vacation together, like I said in my talk last Saturday, really all I did was I gained a brother. I've got a couple, but I just gained another one, and a very best friend, I guess, throughout my whole coaching career. And, you know, to start with, we were like any young coach. We were, full of enthusiasm, and then our kids got old enough that they started playing, and then once they had gone on to college, we just enjoyed what we were doing. I told somebody the other day, we were talking about future careers, and we're like, I'm doing a long-term sub here in junior high, and so they were supposed to dress up like their future career, and they said, what are you going to dress up? I said, I'm going to dress up as a teacher because I got it right the first time. So I really enjoyed teaching and coaching. I enjoy the Hinton community. I think it's a great place, and there was just never any need for me to go any further. I did retire from teaching, but continued to coach for a few years, and then when Bruce decided it was time for him to quit teaching, we had some really good young assistants, and we said we'd encourage them to take over, and so that's when we, in 2018, when we finally gave up the head reins, and Adrian Hardison, a former player and student here, got the job, and I told him at the time that I'd help him with whatever he wanted, and at that point, I started volunteering for the junior high. They never have enough coaches in the junior high, and I've worked my way all the way up to a paid junior high position. But I'm not going any higher than that. That's where I stop now.
Absolutely. As a retired man, you need to make sure you set some boundaries, and that's a good way to do it. You guys take over the program in 83. Bruce is telling me about, the 82 season. They go 0-9. I mean, just, as bottom of the barrel as you can get. You guys come over, take over the program, and you end up going 6-3 that first year. What went into that first year to, get the program back on the right track and to get them, kind of buying what you were selling early on?
Well, one of the first things, we thought we had some athletes in 82, but I really think to a certain extent they really hadn't bought into the program. And so we started a weight room, although we didn't really have a weight room. We do is a bench and get up on an old stage and, do a couple of things. But we kind of got kids believing. We did change some kids' positions a little bit, where maybe we had one kid, Kenny Hoefling, who was our fullback. As a junior, we made him a tailback, gave him a little bit, tried to get him in space a little bit more. And, our whole career, we never had kids that were bigger than everybody else. Our kids were always farm kids, and we had a lot of 190, 200-pounders, but we didn't have many bigger than that. We just tried to get them to believe in themselves and believe that they could succeed, and it just kind of snowballed. We lost our first game to Manson Northwest Webster, who had a really good football team back in those days, and then we went over to Hardington Cedar Catholic, and so we lost our two games, but we were kind of we were competitive, and then we get back into our conference, and we had a couple games. The kids started believing in what they're doing, and kind of got on a roll and ended up winning the conference that year. And, so that gave us a great start. If that hadn't happened, who knows where it would have gone. But we had a great group of kids that, like I said, they were willing to do whatever. You know what, after you don't win a game for a year, it kind of gets in the kids' minds, well, we better do something different. We're willing to do, this is our senior year. We had a lot of seniors on that team. We'll do whatever it takes to win. And they bought into what we were selling, and things worked out well for them.
And it definitely worked out for the program in the future too. I mean, you obviously get to the playoffs 15 times in 36 years, which is impressive in and of itself. And then, you get some great runs, and in 2012, you end up as state runners up. And what kind of things do you remember most about that 2012 team and just, their, I guess, toughness to grit out, I mean, a four-loss record and still finish off as state runners-up that year?
Well, I think early in the 2012, we were playing Akron, and we had a two- or three-touchdown lead, And in the closing minutes, we lost it, and we lost that game. And I think what that really did to us is made us look at ourselves, you know, as coaches and as players, and said, there's no way that should have happened. You know, we let down, and kids kind of made a commitment to not let that happen again. We ended up losing a game right before we went into playoffs. Our quarterback was injured. We made the decision to – we knew we were in the playoffs already, and so we made the decision to rest him that week, and we ended up getting beat by Lawton. Two of those losses were kind of almost self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. And we just once we got into the playoffs, that's not going to happen again. We're gonna keep this thing on a roll, and we ended up beating West Lyon for the first time in our school history. You kind of measure yourself in Northwest Iowa, at least in 1A football at that time, on how you measured up to West Lyon. We beat them in the regular season, came back around and had to play them in the playoffs, beat them again. So we beat them twice in 1 year, which is unheard of against West Lyon. Then we got another crack at Akron, and we beat them, and we knew again, we really messed up the first time. So we had kind of exercised a couple demons there by getting by West Lyon for the first time in our history and coming back and beating a team that had beaten us in the regular season. So I think, once we got to the Dome, our kids, they weren't done. A lot of kids, I think, dream, well, if we get to the Dome, we've had a pretty good season. And we played Logan. That was the first time we ever played Logan Magnolia, too. And so our kids didn't know a whole lot about them. But, again, they really believed in themselves. They thought that they could beat anybody. And no matter how many losses we had, they thought we could beat anybody. Those playoffs losses were all on the road because we didn't have the top record in the district. So when we got to the Dome, the kids said, will they let us wear white again? And I said, well, we don't have much choice because we're on the bottom of the bracket, and that's what we got. So I think it was just the way that the season went along, and we had a couple lumps on the road, we got around those, and it made us better. We were better for it, and we just carried that into the playoffs and came up just a little bit short in the championship game, but kids still played their heart out.
Yeah, and I know you had plenty of chances to win that game, and maybe a couple plays go your way. We're talking about that being a championship game, but nevertheless, it was still a great year. It's been a great run for you guys, and you mentioned something earlier about how Bruce became a brother to you in a sense after coaching with him for so many years. That makes sense. How then, because Bruce said you guys rarely fought. I mean, rarely you'd maybe get into arguments, but you never really were bitter at each other. How do you avoid that with, how intense the game of football is and how passionate you both are for it? Sometimes that just lends itself to intense and arguments and discussions and things like that.
Well, I think neither one of us really has an ego. Mm. And a lot of times your ego can get in the way of making good decisions. And, I trusted 100% that he was going to run the play that was offensively the best for us at that time. And I think he did the same thing, defensively. I trust what you're going to do. We tried early on in our career, before we had many assistants, we didn't have a whole lot. There weren't a whole lot of people hooking up to jump on our bandwagon when we started, a couple of young rookies starting out. But so we ended up having to be our own JV coaches. And so Bruce suggested, well, why don't you, me, Steve, call the offense, and Bruce will call the defense, and we'll kind of get a view from the other side. Well, that lasted about one game. I didn't know half of his offensive plays because that wasn't my job, and he didn't know half of what we were doing on defense, so that wasn't his job. So that was a very short-lived experiment, but that's kind of what we just trusted each other was to do what was best. And I'd say neither one of us had that ego. We do a lot of, as we were getting, better and getting the playoffs, we did a lot of interviews, and each one of us always tried shoving the other guy out there because, we didn't want to be in front of the camera that much. So I think that's the big thing. And again, being, I really think it still goes back to us both being farm kids. Everybody's used to doing their part. Yeah, you can sit and complain about something, but that doesn't get anything done. So, you know, and you have mishaps and things that don't go your way, but if you sit and grumble about them, they never do get righted. So if something went wrong, we just tried to work harder and correct it. And, you know, in the end, it played off with a lot of playoffs and a lot of real successful teams.
Absolutely. Plenty of successful teams and plenty of success, obviously, then leading to the Hall of Fame induction over the weekend. What did it mean to, you know, be inducted into a coaches association of some of your peers from the area and competitors and all these guys that also poured in blood, sweat, and tears into their programs across this great state?
Well, very humbling when you look at that list of inductees that have been inducted over the years. I mean, there's like it's like a who's who of football coaches. So it's really humbling to be named in the same sentence and have my name on the same cheaper that some of those greats that won a lot more games than we did and you know probably did a lot better job in of X's and O's and whatnot to be included in that group. Makes it really special. Like I said, when we both agreed to take the co-head job back in 1983, I don't think either one of us had the Football Coaches Hall of Fame in our mind. You know, it was just, let's see if we can take a bunch of kids and if we can't improve throughout the year and come out with more wins and losses at the end of each season. And you know, it was fun for us doing that, and we both enjoyed it. You know, and that's still one of the highlights of our careers are when our players come back and they're successful business people and, you know, successful community members. We've got some that are doctors and lawyers and a lot of teachers, and we've got some coaches, Jeremy right over there, Galen Catholic is a former player for ours and for us. And, you know, that's where I get a lot of gratitude out of the years that we put in and the payback for the times we missed maybe with our families and whatnot. We just got a bigger family is what we did. And so being inducted into the Hall of Fame was really the icing on the cake of a career that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I wouldn't have changed anything if I could have.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great career. It's a great honor. You two did great work for the Hinton community, the Hinton School District, and of course the Hinton football program in your time as well. So, Steve, thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with us. We really appreciate it, and you know, keep at it, and keep having a positive impact in the community.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate all you do to promote high school sports in Northwest Iowa. We can't get enough good guys like you that are always trying to put, you know, good things out there about what's going on in our high school. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve. That's Steve Dietiker, head coach, former co-head coach of Hinton Blackhawk football, and the newest Hall of Famer into the Football Coaches Association.